May I speak in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amazon has a sign for sale, and it says in very large letters, "It's not my job." I will read the sign for you. It says, "This is a story about four people named Anybody, Everybody, Somebody, and Nobody. There was an important job to be done, and everybody was sure that somebody would do it. Anybody could have done it, but nobody did it. Somebody got angry about that because it was everybody's job. Everybody thought anybody could do it, but nobody realised that everybody wouldn't do it. It ended up that everybody blamed somebody when nobody did what anybody could have done. But it is my job, it is your job, and it's everybody's job. It's not my job avoids responsibility. It avoids having to contribute. It avoids showing care and compassion. But more than that, the person or people who declare, it's not my job, don't care about the impact that has on others. In today's jargon, they are not team players. Instead of thinking or saying, it's not my job, we are called to pitch in and help those in need. In the reading we heard from Ezekiel, the survivors of the destruction of Jerusalem can be heard proclaiming, it's not my job. They loved listening to Ezekiel sing. They enjoyed his entertainment. But when it came to listening to what he had to say, they didn't want to listen. They had little appetite to have their lives changed by his message. You can feel the frustration of Ezekiel. First, he implores those around him, fellow exiles, to come and listen. To what? The message that he has received from God. But it was to no avail. They just didn't want to hear. They didn't want to find out what they needed to be doing. It's the adult equivalent of the toddler sitting itself down in the middle of the supermarket and shouting, no, I don't have to, you can't make me. Ezekiel is determined that the exiled leaders of Israel will recognize what God is asking them to do. His job is to share Yahweh's compassion for the exiles. He may well feel like exclaiming, it's not my job. But for Ezekiel, he knows that it is his job. It is of paramount importance that Yahweh's reputation is held in high esteem, that his message is heard. It's clear from this passage that Ezekiel has some unpalatable stuff to say. Basically, the exiled leaders have been putting their own needs before taking care of their fellow exiles. They just don't see it as their job. They have become the obstacle, firstly, which led to the fall of Jerusalem, but now they're hindering the promised restoration for the people. And all because they think it's not our job. Ezekiel is using metaphors of the shepherd and sheep to depict salvation. The human shepherds have failed, and God will step in to save the flock. God will take over from the ineffective caretakers' responsibilities, from those who don't see care of the flock as their job. And although the shepherd is considered to be the lowest of the low in the social stratum of the ancient world, they still had a really important job to do. Primarily, they were there to protect the sheep, to care for them, and to feed them. Sound familiar? The shepherd was accountable for the welfare of their sheep. Their job, although treated as a very lowly job, was highly responsible. The welfare of the sheep, acting as midwife and chief protector, and ultimately it impacted on the prosperity of the sheep's owners. That was their job. In our society, We may think about the sandwich makers, the street cleaners, the refuse collectors, or the parking enforcement officers, previously known as traffic wardens. Those who are doing jobs that are perceived as jobs decent people just don't do. Even though shepherds were considered the lowest of the low, it was still not uncommon for kings in the ancient world to refer to themselves as shepherds. Israel carried on this practice where prophets were often castigating the kings as being mercenary shepherds who destroyed their flock instead of caring for it. These ideas of sheep and shepherd are developed in John's Gospel. We hear in John 10, 12 to 14, Jesus describing the people as my flock. Furthermore, Jesus will rescue the people, but Jesus doesn't complain. It's not my job. Yahweh is the true king and the shepherd of his people, most often described as the shepherd when Israel was in exile. When the people are scattered due to the failure of human shepherds, then Yahweh becomes the shepherd who supernaturally regathers the flock, bringing them back safely into the fold. The message Ezekiel was charged to deliver shows how the leaders of Israel had failed miserably to do their job. The shepherds had been feeding themselves, failing to heal the sick, neglecting the injured, declining to bring back those who have strayed, and ignoring the lost. All of which indicates that the leaders of Israel didn't see this as their job. How many times have we had that thought? Both as individuals and as a community, there are many times when we've failed to do the things that God has wanted us to do. We haven't acted as Christians. We haven't gathered up the broken, those who've strayed or the lost. We haven't seen it as our job. Each time we come to church, we say sorry for the things that we have failed to do, for the times we have thought that it was not my job, whatever that job is, and we can all fill in those blanks. Then there's a story from Acts. Luke tells the story of Paul's conversion three times, demonstrating his belief in its importance. Saul believed he was doing his job, only to discover that he had got it wrong. Indeed, Paul shows us how the leaders of Israel should have responded to Ezekiel when he spoke to them. As we listen to the harmony of this story, we catch the tune, the part Luke wants us to focus on. That is what Paul did. His obedience to God, his yes, it's my job. Paul hears God's call and acts on it. As he is on trial, standing before King Agrippa II, Paul declares to him this belief that God has called him to do a job. The job, to go to the Gentiles, to proclaim throughout Damascus, Jerusalem, and the whole country, that the people should turn to God and to demonstrate their repentance. This was a huge job. A job which Paul accepted not in isolation, but alongside those who heard the message and acted upon it. Those who listened to Paul's proclamation from God. So unlike those leaders of Israel that Ezekiel proclaimed God's message to, many who heard Paul's proclamation listened and acted on it. The question we as a community and as individuals need to repeatedly ask ourselves is whether we are behaving like the leaders of Israel or like Saul as he became Paul. Are we listening to the message and allowing it to transform us? That's what Saul did. Or are we listening to the harmony but not the tune? And so being like the leaders of Israel and not responding to God's transforming call on our lives. Yesterday, 12 of our community responded to God's call. They began the mission-shaped ministry course. But answering God's call is not just about going on courses. It is about allowing God to work in and through us. And it's also the response we make. How would it feel if instead of hearing about the shepherds of Israel who have been feeding themselves and neglecting the flock, we heard, "You shepherds of Wanlip, who have been feeding yourselves, you have not healed the sick. You have not bound up the injured. You have not brought back the strayed. You have not sought the lost." It would be awful, wouldn't it? Just as Ezekiel was telling the leaders of Israel, that was their job. And Paul was proclaiming to the Gentiles that their job was to repent and turn to Christ. So too is it the job of everyone in the church today. Paul took on the job. He spent the rest of his life in obedience to the heavenly vision he had received. Here in Wanlip and in Birstall, it's not just Vince's job or my job. It is the job of all of us to look after those who are sick, to support them back to health, to bring back people to God, and to look for those who are lost. So let us return to the sign that Amazon has on sale and change it round so that it reveals it's my job. And so this is how the story now reads. This is a story about four people named Anybody, Everybody, Somebody and Nobody. There was an important job to be done, and everybody was sure that somebody would do it. Anybody could have done it, but everybody did it. Nobody got angry because everybody did the job. In the end, nobody needed to blame anybody, because together, somebody and everybody did the job. Amen.